Taco Palenque fans, we have something special for you. Try the Casero Taco now for only $2.75 Monday through Thursday. Flavor packed with premium sirloin rice and refried beans. Only at Taco Palenque. At participating locations for limited time, not valid for delivery. Other restrictions may apply.
From a highly secure network of top secret locations across North America, this is the Spurs Insider, brought to you by Taco Palenque. I'm your host, Mike Finger of the Express News, and let me just make sure of something first. Here at this point in the season, Devin Vassell's done for the year. Jeremy Sohan's done for the year. Keldon Johnson, not sure about him. Charles Bassey's not coming back. Can I just do a roll call? Tom Orsborn, are you still working this season?
Yes. I'm limping to the finish line, but I think I'm going to make it.
Jeff McDonald, are you done for the season?
I did not know that was an option.
So you're here.
Yeah, I am here.
Express News sports editor Nick Talbot, you're still here?
I'm still here. I might be watching more Caitlin Clark than the Spurs, but I'm still here.
Well, that's the group. Do we have to keep covering these games, talking about these games for the next week and a half, or are we just going to call it quits? Let Taco Palenque go sponsor something else.
I think there's a big guy in the middle that a lot of people still are interested in, no matter what happens.
That's very nice of you to say about me.
Is that about me? I think that's about me.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's the free Sandro, free Devontae crowd that cares.
Okay. Well,
and come this offseason, they will be free.
They will be free. Well, then let's do it. Let's talk about the local Cagers. Let's talk about the Spurs. Tom's top secret location is somewhere in the Rocky Mountains, I believe. What is there to say about these guys? They're going to play 7 more games starting tonight. The listeners will have already known the result of that Denver game by the time this hits their earbuds. But Tom, what are you writing about? What's interesting about this team these days?
Well, you know, I wrote yesterday after the Golden State game how the aforementioned Mamu and Devontae Graham, you know, Chetty Osman, they all played well. They all played well. You know, Pop had to dig deep in his bench with those three guys out, and they came in and played well. Kind of a feel-good story. Those guys have been good soldiers all year, so it was nice to see them get minutes. But, you know, I guess the concern now is Jeremy, at least from his perspective, he should be okay following surgery, but you know, he wants to play for the Polish national team this summer at the FIBA qualifying, so that's in jeopardy. So yeah, just kind of monitoring where he's at, and then Devin has the stress fracture in his foot. You know, what's the seriousness of that? Tough break for those two guys. They both had, at least from Devin's perspective, he had a pretty good surge late in the season.
Thinking back to the start of the year, when people were concerned about the Spurs going to do the Spurs thing and not play their guys, going to rest their stars, which always seemed to be kind of a silly way to look at things, because there was one guy who sat in Spurs history and the others really didn't. And just like we expected, Victor Wembanyama surged past the 65-game mark, probably will finish closer to 70. He's not going to play as much as Jeremy Sohan did this year, but he's going to play a bunch of games and seems to continue to want to finish this season out. And Jeff, he's not slowing down. It doesn't seem like either.
No, he is not. How many points has he scored in the last 2 games combined? I think the number is 70.
That's a lot of points.
So that's a lot of points. I don't want to be the jerk who points out that the Sohan and Vassell injuries kind of came at a good time for the team, because they were in danger of falling upwards out of the bottom three. with the way that Portland and Charlotte were playing. So I think not having those guys is going to help keep the Spurs their lottery odds as best as they can get them. And I know this is probably the weakest draft in a long time, and it's not as important to get the number one overall pick as it was last year, obviously. But if you're this close to it at this point of the year, it's not a bad thing to have the best odds of the best pick. So I think this will help them out a lot, because they were getting into a dogfight with Charlotte and Portland, who were only a game ahead or behind them, however you want to view it, for fourth to last and fifth to last.
Yeah. So
this will help them limp down the stretch. And I don't know, they need 20 wins to match the worst record in NBA history. I mean, Spurs history, and they've got 18. Do we think they can, what's the panel think? Can they get two more with the roster that they currently have assembled?
Well, they have Memphis and they have Detroit left. So
that's true.
That's two balls right there.
When's the last time the Spurs have beaten the Memphis Grizzlies, Jeff?
We had never heard of COVID before.
Wow. 2019.
The season opener of that COVID season, before COVID. So 2020, I guess. Like that.
It was the calendar year 2019.
Yes.
I don't understand this matching. Matching the worst.
You just don't want to be all the. I mean, obviously, you'd like to beat it.
They're still the worst.
Yeah, but obvious. Well, sure. I don't believe they can get three.
But I mean, that should be the goal, of course.
Well, the goal should be to win seven games in a row, but I don't think they can pull that off.
True.
With the people they have.
Tom so makes a good point, though.
At least don't be the only team. You know,
two does nothing.
Absolute worst team.
I mean, from a couple of weeks ago, everything was, well, we need to get X number to match it, or not.
Oh yeah, well, you don't want to do that. But now that you're here,
you got to exceed it.
Now that you're here, at least you aren't the absolute worst team in Spurs franchise history. You have some company, and misery loves company, and company loves misery.
There are two very, Jeff alluded to this, the positioning for the NBA draft lottery, which now, after the past half decade or so, people in San Antonio are quite familiar with the rules that they had not paid attention to for the 20 years before that.
In half a decade, wow, just to hear it put that way. It's pretty.
Yeah.
Something.
There's two extreme outcomes that could be facing the Spurs in this upcoming draft, and there's lots of permutations in between. But the best they can possibly do in this draft is they could have the number one overall pick if they win the lottery, and they could have the number seven overall pick if that is where the Toronto Raptors end up in the lottery. They could have number one and number seven. That would be pretty good. The worst case scenario, let's say they fall all the way to the, or they climb to the fifth worst record in the league, which, as Jeff mentioned, they're close to doing that. Memphis and Charlotte are right ahead of them. If they have the fifth worst record in the league, and then four teams jump them in the lottery, which is the worst case scenario, their pick would be number nine overall. And if Toronto gets into the top six, they wouldn't get that pick at all. So those are two really different scenarios. There's lots of, like I said, lots of possibilities in between, but they could have one and seven or only number nine. The more likely outcome is something in between. Maybe they'll have number three and get Toronto seven, or just a number four, something like that.
Or but Toronto falls to eight or nine, or something like that.
Right. So there's lots of different ways it could play out. But in terms of predicting the draft right now, those are really different outcomes. And we won't be close to determining that. I believe the NBA lottery, looking at my calendar here, is it on a Sunday this year? May the 12th is the NBA draft lottery. And that's when we will know the answers to these questions. But the positioning over these next week, as Jeff said, will play into the odds there. We'll see how that works out.
And like, I was never, and I don't think anybody was ever in favor of quote unquote tanking or trying to pull this off all season long. Like, I think if the Spurs season had gone the way they wanted to, they wouldn't be having this discussion right now. They wouldn't even be in play for the top pick. Or they certainly wouldn't be in the bottom three. Like, they expected to win a lot more games. But now that you're here and there's seven games to go and two of your top four scorers are hurt and you're already bottom three and trying to fend off four and five, you might as well go for it, I think.
I don't think it matters much. But I your point is well taken.
Much matter much, yeah, but matters.
We haven't gotten into just the how this team was streaking before Sunday and played pretty well on Sunday against the Golden State Warriors
yeah.
for the fifth time in 5 weeks or whatever.
There was a part of me that thought they woke up on somebody in the organization woke up on Easter Sunday and went, oh, holy crap, we're about to be fifth to worst. We got to do something. But apparently the Sohan and the Vassell injuries are legitimate MRI verified things, not just soreness or general malaise.
Since we last spoke, the Spurs were coming off when we did last speak, the Spurs were coming off a Victor Wembanyama less victory over the Phoenix Suns, but they followed that with a road drubbing of the Utah Jazz and Will Hardy, and then a home overtime thriller against the Knickerbockers of New York City.
That one was a defensive
which
play.
which gave them their first three game winning streak since 2022, I believe.
That is
what were you saying about the Knickerbockers?
It was a defensive clinic. They held Jaylen to 61.
They did. Jeez.
I mean, if he got to 66, the Knicks win the game. So I don't know what he was doing, just sticking at 61.
The that night concluded with young Victor Wembanyama celebrating with the fans as he is wont to do, soaking in the admiration, basking in the afterglow, hurling a basketball into the crowd, thinking that it might cost him some money, but maybe just the 99.99. That a basketball cost, it ended up costing a little more than that.
25K.
Tom Moore's point.
So silly. Yeah. So silly. Defining for
the rule's a rule.
Yeah, that's what Pop said. But and I said it's a silly rule, and he said it's the rule. So, you know, but it's so silly. I mean, you have to use common sense, as Victor pointed.
I mean, he could have killed somebody.
Ah, boy, it was lofted. Not hurled in anger.
Actually, it was pretty hurled. He flung the crap out of that thing.
If you let him get away with that, then you'll have players throwing basketballs into crowds willy nilly. We can't have that. No. You got to draw a line somewhere.
What I thought was funny was talking to. We finally got to talk to him after the Golden State games. He had been fine that morning, I believe, or maybe it was the day in between the games. Mm-hmm. And asking him if he was surprised, and he said, I kind of knew. Okay. He almost painted this picture of, like, while the ball's in the air, he realized he might be down $25,000, like, before he even landed. Like, he's like, yeah, I kind of, as I threw it, I remembered that people had been fined for this before, but I didn't, I thought it was just when they were mad. But he did have.
Well, how then do you explain his answer to me the night of when I asked if he was, if he was ready to pay for that? And he said, no, someone else will pay for it,
and
which was pretty good.
I tried after the Golden State to ask who was going to pay for it, and they cut me off.
Well, because I think that they don't want.
I know.
The player is supposed to pay his own fine,
right?
And if the player does not pay his own fine, there's all kinds of violations there.
Again,
so
here's what I was saying:
that's extra incentive. Remember years ago when this is a completely ridiculous tangent, but. When the Mavericks signed Dennis Rodman and Dennis Rodman stayed at Mark Cuban's house and they got in trouble for that because that's like extra compensation. Maybe no one here remembers that.
I remember that.
I got one even further back. Doug Moe was fine.
Who are you, Mike Monroe?
Who let Mike Monroe in here?
this is when I was in high school.
And Mike Monroe came to visit your class and told you a story about Doug Moe. Go ahead.
He got fined for berating the refs. I think it was in that 78-79 season. Anyway, he got a hefty fine of some sort, whatever was hefty back then. But The fans collected the money. He was so beloved, the fans collected the money. Not only did they collect the money, but if I remember correctly, they did it in pennies. Or change, loose change, from various cushion seats and car ashtrays, and they sent it into the league that way.
And did they?
That's when the Spurs, you know, everything was kind of silly back then. Fun. They had fun with this stuff.
Yeah, they had fun with it. And that would be verboten now. Like, you couldn't do that because that would be a salary cap violation for fans to be collecting change to pay for fines. So Victor had to pay that $25K out of his own pocket.
Here's my ancillary thought on all this. I am for this kind of celebratory stuff. I love that this 20-year-old kid is so happy when he wins a game that he just revels in it, flings balls into stands, celebrates, just loves winning so much. Like, I'm a fan of that exuberance. What would you think if you were a Knicks fan right now, watching that? Like, dude, that's your 18th win of the year. Like, calm down.
Yeah, the Knicks fans are such.
Or just any and the other part of that, I was thinking, like, when this team gets good and they're winning 50 games a year, the Spurs, I think fan bases are going to not like Victor so much, not just because he kicks their ass, but because he puts their nose in it.
Parental advisory rating warning again for this podcast.
And again, I am for that kind of stuff. Like, rub their nose in it. It's fine, but he's going to be a little bit of a villain, I think. And
he probably will be.
And I'm fine with that.
I think he'll be okay with it too.
I think Knicks fans of all fan bases understand, like, celebrating what you have when you have it. Because
I don't know. It's been a long time. If you're a casual observer with no dog in the fight, watching a guy just go nuts over like the over going 18 and 59 or whatever, it's kind of funny.
Yeah,
but I understand and I'm for it. And then the Spurs fans love it. That moment is awesome. Like, after a game and the fans are still around screaming their heads off, just cheering on that. I'm not one of these guys that gets all like, what is it? I'm not into this stuff for like, the fans, but they've been pretty great. For a team that is just, the record is so bad, they're still showing up on Easter Sunday even to watch this team and be in the game. Like, the end of that game on Sunday was as raucous as it has been in that building all year when the Spurs are making that comeback. So I, for the first time ever on this podcast, and probably the last, I'm going to give Spurs fans like a little bit of props for the atmosphere they've created at the Frostbank Center this season.
It was three in a row. They did it without Jeremy in the second half to guard Brunson. They overcame Brunson's 61 points. Victor had 40, career high 40 points, matched his career high with 20 rebounds. I mean, there's some emotion there.
For sure. I don't want to tamp that down at all. But if I'm like Jalen Brunson, I'm looking at him like, dude, y'all are 18 and 50 something. Like,
there were some Knicks fans there that night. I think they might have enjoyed some of it. Good. Another super celebrity friend of the podcast, Brian Windhorst, was telling a story that night up on the platform in section 107 about he mentioned that a Knicks fan came up to him and said hello because he's a super celebrity. And the Knicks fan had, he said he was a 30-something Knicks fan with a Texas accent. And as Brian pointed out, like, there's just no real excuse for that, because if you're 30 something and you're from Texas and you choose to become a Knicks fan, like, what happened there? This was not the glory era.
Bad parenting
of the New York Knicks.
Bad parenting.
It's one thing if you grew up like in the Willis. Oh, by the way, Jeff McDonald asked Victor Wembanyama about Willis Reed last week. I found that amusing.
That was so funny.
But these guys didn't. They, 30 something Texan didn't grow up admiring Willis Reed or Bill Bradley or, named Clyde Frazier. They made a choice to support like what the Carmelo Anthony Knicks, the Jeremy Lin Knicks.
I was going to say, maybe he was a Lin Sanity fan. Like, he came aboard right in the middle of Lin Sanity. Like, he was just became aware of basketball during that 5-game stretch in 2011.
I guess fandom is weird. There's all kinds of ways for people to develop allegiances. We shouldn't judge.
Maybe he just likes James Dolan's music. Did we ever think of that?
He could. That could be it. Tell your Willis Reed story.
No, it's not a good story. You can tell it if you want.
I don't think it was that great either.
Okay, you brought it up.
Well, I thought you seemed to be really into it. But Victor went into the locker room with some kind of ailment against the Knicks and then came running back out to a enthusiastic reception from the home crowd who were excited to see him coming back out. And you asked Victor afterwards if he knew who Willis Reed was, and he said that he'd heard the name.
Yeah, he said he could picture his face, which is kind of weird because I don't know if I could picture Willis Reed's face right now.
Yeah. It was not quite a Willis Reed moment, but
no, it wasn't.
One of the highlights of the season so far, that victory over.
Willis Reed's came in the NBA Finals, and mm-hmm. Victor's came in win number 18 in April. So not.
Well, I'll tell you this: Victor had a much better game in his Willis Reed game than Willis Reed had,
and much better celebration.
Yeah, Willis Reed. Somebody here, some old timer, should know Willis Reed's stat line in that game, but it was utterly forgettable. The whole thing was the symbolism of coming back in.
Mm-hmm.
He scored like a couple of buckets, and that was it. But anyway, he was an inspiration, much like Victor Wembanyama is an inspiration to this team that does not have Jeremy Sochan, does not have Devin Vassell, does not have Charles Bassey. What's the status of Keldon Johnson? He's going to miss the game at Denver. Is he going to be back this year, we think?
They haven't ruled him out, but you see, when you start racking up DNPs with, you know, a week and a half to go, it's looking dicey, right? Like, what's the point of bringing him back, you know, for those last game of the season or the last week? Maybe they will. I'm not saying they won't, but the longer it goes on, the more it seems like, what's the point of bringing him back?
What is the point?
What is the point?
I'm turning to Michael Malone all of a sudden.
I don't know why we're here, to be honest with you.
What is the point of any of this?
existential question.
So aside from the lottery positioning, are these last seven games, what is the point, Tom?
A bunch of awards. Let's talk about NBA awards, like for the rest of the podcast. Bunch of awards.
I'll sit out here. Go ahead and have your award.
I was kidding.
No, the people like it.
I know you hate it. I have no discussion here. I have no talking points. I just said that to rile you up a little bit.
Go ahead.
Award we haven't talked about the Magic Johnson Award. Is Victor a candidate for that?
Oh, that is a good question. I hadn't thought about that.
I think he's a candidate.
I'll nominate him.
But you know, he's under some restraints. He could do even more. I'm sure he would, but he's under some restraints.
I'll nominate him. He's talked after games this year more than anybody. I mean, like in Spurs history, or not Spurs history, but Tim Duncan era history.
Yeah, who's the favorite for the Magic Johnson Award?
Sure. Amazingly, Manu Ginobili never won that award. And why was that, Jeff?
I don't know. But first, I nominate him all the time.
Yeah. For the listeners at home, we have very smart listeners, very well-informed listeners, but the Magic Johnson Award is kind of an esoteric thing. Like, those of us on the podcast know about it, but
sorry.
I don't think people at home Johnson Award is.
It is an award for the NBA player that has the best Twitter presence.
Okay, now try it again. Seriously.
Have you read my Magic's tweets? They're great.
Yes, but go ahead and try to be serious for once.
It is for the NBA NBA star level player. I'm putting that in quotes because that's sort of a subjective term. Star level player who is most cooperative in fulfilling his duties with the media, and it's named after Magic Johnson because Magic was that dude back in the day. And the Spurs have never had a winner in that award, but they while they're playing for the Spurs, but like DeMar DeRozan was a winner when he was with Toronto, and Pau Gasol was a winner when he was with the Lakers. So it's people like that. And I used to nominate Manu every year because he was just great at showing up game after game after game. And
he should have won it.
And he should have won it. He should have won it. And a lot of years he was on the ballot and just got outvoted by name your guy. I don't know who.
And the issue with his candidacy every year is not enough people across the league apparently considered him star level enough.
Well, correct. There was one at the end, near the end of his career, where I tried to nominate him, and I was told that I could not because he's not a star enough, and I fought for it anyway and said the guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's a star enough, and they ended up relenting and putting him on the ballot. Honestly, if I had to guess why he was, why he never won, it's more like this is a, if you think about it, this is a award that is skewed towards people in major markets, players in major markets. A lot of people see whoever's talking every day for the Lakers or the Knicks or, you know, Toronto is a big market when DeMar was there. So a lot of people are seeing that, but Manu just showing up to talk to me, you know, every night in Memphis and Minneapolis and Indianapolis, not as many eyes are on that. Not as many right. people were aware of the mention that it was.
Portland's got three winners, Lillard twice, Brandon Roy.
Wow.
So, man.
Who won last year, Tom? Do you have the list in front of you?
Oh, boy, this list goes to 2020. And I'm looking here. Have they discontinued it since the pandemic? Maybe okay. they did.
I'll find it for you.
The issue with Victor, and I think that he might have a future Magic Johnson Award in him, but a lot of those guys that win it sort of go above and beyond and are hanging around, and you can talk to them and that kind of thing. And Victor Victor has such a huge media following that he does everything at the podium, which is unbelievable for him to do that every night because no one else does. But he's not really able to do the extra stuff that where DeMar DeRozan is just hanging around talking to guys.
Free Victor, he will do it. He wants to do it.
I think eventually he could get to that point, but right now he's not a Magic Johnson player yet.
There was the night he had the cedar fever, and everyone would have been fine to just like, oh, we'll give him the night off. But he was adamant that he wanted to talk, and let's just do it at my locker. So we all gathered around his locker. I looked it up. Last year's Magic Johnson Award winner was a freak from the island of Greece named Giannis.
He's pretty good. And that's probably a good comparison for Victor because he does a lot of the podium stuff.
Giannis was great this year in the locker room at the Frost Bank Center. I remember talking to him there about Victor. Yeah. He was very great. Very good.
You got to earn extra points for doing it in another language as well.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, no one can possibly care about this. That's the only award. That's the only award I care about. I don't care about DPOY.
That's the only one we talked about.
He's going to
get votes for Defensive Player of the Year, though. I don't think he'll win it. He's going to get votes. And I think he's going to get – I mean, I think he will be on an all-defensive team. I think he's going to get votes for all-NBA, and I could see him getting on one of those teams maybe.
Third team all-NBA, yes or no?
I might say yes. I think it's close. I think it's iffy. I don't know where I'm going to go with it yet, but I think it's close.
Is there just one first team all defense, five guys?
Yeah. I mean, there's two all defensive teams, but they are composed of five guys apiece, yes.
What do you mean, two defensive teams?
There's a first team all defensive team and a second team.
That's what I'm saying. So there's 10 guys. It's the first and second team. So you think he'll make second team all defense? Why am I indulging in this?
I think that's almost a lot because people are going to vote for him they're going to have him on their Defensive Player of the Year ballot. If you have that guy on your Defensive Player of the Year ballot as the top three, I was one of the top three defenders in the entire NBA. Why would you not put him on your all defensive team? And the fact that those are not position dependent this year, I don't believe will aid in his thing anyway, but I don't know. I think he'd be on there anyway. I think he's had that kind of year. He's blocking shots like nobody's business.
Well, there you go. We got through the award talk. Magic Johnson, all defense, Defensive Player of the Year.
Can we just call that if he wins Defensive Player of the Year? Can we ask to rename it DePois?
DePois.
DePois.
Sure, I'm for it.
Let's petition the league.
Why not? That's something to look forward to, renaming the Du Bois. Other things to look forward to these last seven games of the NBA season. We will be back at you next week. Until then, take care of each other and keep it real.